The views and opinions of this podcast are solely those of the creators and do not reflect any streaming service or platform. This podcast contains strong language and contrarian viewpoints that may be objectional to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to Three Geeks in a Microphone podcast. I'm Dean.
I'm Art.
And Russ, again, is out today. He is doing a toy show. But we have our special guest, Mr. Matt Swofford from Reclaimers Vintage Toys. I will get this right if it kills me.
It's like your eternal tongue twister.
It is. So, Matt, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I am glad to have you back.
And always a pleasure.
Today, our subject for our open geek talk is going to be vintage arcade cabinets. Some of our favorites. Art, take us out.
All right. We're pretty much just discussing the, like our favorite vintage cabinets, say early 80s up through mid to late 90s, probably not any later than 96. Like my personal favorites are pretty much in order, Pac-Man, Frogger, and I'm talking about the original Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Frogger. Now I lost my train of thought.
Your three favorites.
Yeah. Ninja Turtles, Mortal Kombat 2, not the first one. That was awful. And probably Pole Position. Those I think I played the most as a kid. Like if I got anywhere near an arcade, but Pac-Man as a kid, I had like posters in my room. Watched the Saturday morning cartoon. Donkey Kong was another favorite. What about you guys?
My first, let me see, I'm trying to think as far back on the Wayback Machine here. We didn't have an arcade in my small town that I grew up in. There was a bowling alley one town over that was about 15, 20 minutes away. And I remember they didn't have a ton of arcade games, but they had, you know, some of the early ones, Galaga, Asteroids, Yars Revenge, Space Invaders, stuff like that. And then the pizza place in town had, I think, two or three. And I know they had like Dig Dug and Donkey Kong. So those were my kind of first introduction to arcade cabinets. Whenever I got to play arcade games, it was always kind of like a special treat because it was kind of like an event because it was either we were at the pizzeria or we were at the bowling alley. So I mean, yeah, I some of my early favorites, I loved Galaga. That was, to me, that was like a Star Wars X-Wing game, like fighting, you know, bug ships and things like that. They did have the Star Wars, I can't even remember what game it is. It's the one that they did the arcade one up for where it's like the vector graphics. Mm-hmm. And it's got the control stick and all that. They had that at the grocery store. So I played that one a lot. But yeah, those were definitely some of my early favorites. Dig Dug, it was another good one. Donkey Kong, I liked all of them. I liked Centipede with the ball, track ball.
Sure.
Right.
There's another one, was it Berserk? I want to say Berserk.
Breakout?
Arkanoid.
Okay.
Was a great one, which I think is Breakout, where you've got the paddle and then the ball that, mm-hmm. that busts everything up. That one is still, like, I put that one up there with Tetris as far as, like, just, like, super addictive games that once I start playing it, like, I could be there for 3 hours and, you know, look up at my watch and be like, oh, holy shit.
My three favorites are still the three I would want to buy. An original Pac-Man, a sit-down Spy Hunter, Stargate is probably my three favorites. Stargate was a Williams, or Bally's or a Williams game, one of the two. And you didn't see it a lot because it had one joystick and a ton of buttons. You were a ship flying over a terrain, and you kept getting waves and waves of ground and air assault, but the big thing about it was every once in a while you would find this a Stargate. It was like a square, a glowing square. And when you flew into it, it would warp you to a different part on the board. But you never knew where it was going to warp you. It would either warp you forward or backward. You'd never know. So you jump in one, oh shit, I've already done this. Now I got to fly through it again, past that one and hit another. Oh, it took me forward. But it was a real fast-paced game. But of the three, those are my favorites. Though, I mean, I can remember going to like Chuck E. Cheese before it was all like ticket games and playing arcade games. And another big one I loved was Kung Fu. I played, there was a little party store near the house that we would go up to, and they had Kung Fu. I'd always throw a couple quarters in there and see if I could beat it. But alas, I never could. Even on the NES, I was never able to beat Kung Fu. So I since have, and you know, since I've gotten, it became an adult. But one of the things I told my my girlfriend at the time, or my wife at the time, she's like, if you had money, what would you do? You know, like your dream job. Well, I'd either open my own vintage toy store, but the problem is I'd want to keep all the you know, the product. Can't do that. Or
I struggle with that all the time.
Or I want to open a vintage arcade. And I want to, everyone here has walked into an arcade before, I'm assuming, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you know what I mean when you walk in, and the only way I can describe it is it had a very unique smell to it. I can't exactly explain it. You could smell the carpeting. You could smell the dust. You know, you were in an arcade.
It was almost, yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of, it's like a tactile thing, almost like walking into an old movie theater.
Right.
I mean, obviously that has like the popcorn and the, you know, the soda smell and everything else. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like you walk in and that it's like you could smell the mustiness of the carpet and the cabinets and it had its own smell. Yeah, I can't really place it, but I
know. But not only that, like in the early 80s, up at least here until probably like 92, 93, they actually let you could smoke in them, majority of them, even in the ones that were like in our malls here. You know, you'd see people lighting up. They had ash, like those canister ashtrays all over the place.
Yep. And the sound, you would walk in, and as soon as you walked in, you were hit with a cacophony of different video game sounds all melded together. But the longer you were there, oh, that's Galaga, that's Pac-Man, that's this. And after a while, everything made sense. But for the first couple of minutes when you first walked in, it was just a jumble of sound. And like I said, if I were to ever open a vintage arcade, I want my biggest thing would be to try to recreate that.
Yep.
That feeling of walking in. And it was always dark. There were never any bright lights or anything on. It was always dark. And like you mentioned, a lot of times this was, they were in pizza parlors. So you would smell pizza cooking, for example.
Well, the closest thing to that, I feel like now as an adult that I've come across is when you walk into a casino with all the slot machines going off and all the dings and whistles and the sounds from all the different slot machines. It's the exact same experience. Cause you walk in and it's that same kind of like bedazzling, like you said, a cacophony of like, it's like a symphony of, you know, clicks and beeps and whistles. And you're just like, wow, like everything's going on. And like, you're walking into this new world.
And lights flashing, because like, I've never walked into an arcade as a kid that didn't have like a claw machine or like those like table claw machines, you know, where it had like the dome over the top of it. And it had that little swing arm and the Lazy Susan thing where it was constantly spinning.
Yep. Right. Or even later you would get like the coin push games where you would go in, and we've all seen those, you know, the ton of coins.
The bulldozer quarter push or whatever it's called.
Those came later, but I know like in the early 80s, arcades were so big. They even had if I remember correctly, they tried to start a pro league, didn't they, Art? Am I thinking right?
in some areas they did. Yeah, we didn't have one that I remember. But the big thing then, though, you know, even before you could quote unquote beat a game, it was getting the highest score possible. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody always like memorized their scores or wrote them down. And like, yeah, I got this on Galaga over the weekend, or Galaxian, or whatever.
Right. Everybody wanted those bragging rights.
Yeah.
And you could prove it, because later on, you know, with the limited amount of memory they had, you could put your initials next to the score and you could prove you did it, you know?
Right.
But it kind of makes me wonder how much money I dumped in over the years and quarters and into like here over by my, now it's Kroger's, but when I was a kid, there's a grocery store chain called Farmer Jack's. And in the area I was in the early 80s, I was a kid at this point, they had an arcade called Time Travelers. No, Time Travelers? I'll have to verify that. But there was a small arcade in here. And it was always packed with older kids and whatnot. And the reason it closed, not because it didn't get popular, but some asshole came in and started shooting up the place. And they ended up closing it down. And from there, the only one that was close to us was a couple miles away on a street called Woodward. It was like the main drag, and there was a large arcade, and that just went under because of lack of use in like the 90s. But I noticed in the early 2000s, we started seeing a resurgence in arcades again. Starting with, now, do you guys have Dave & Buster's where you are?
No.
No, I've been to Dave & Buster's. We didn't have any when I was younger. Matter of fact, I remember the first arcade I ever went into was in 1989.
Wow.
Yeah, the first like dedicated arcade, other than in the mall. I feel like those don't count as much. but it was called Diamond Gems. Huh. And you had to, it was the first one I ever remember having to buy the tokens for.
Okay.
And whenever I left, I think I had like two of those left, and I held on to them for, I mean, all through high school and everything, just in case I ever went back, you know. And so yeah, it was always my experience with arcade cabinets was way more sporadic. And I remember them like popping up occasionally at like convenience stores that were in my hometown, and they would swap them out after a while. So okay. Like when I lived with my grandmother in a different small town, there was a Circle K that we would go to after school and stuff like that. And I remember when they put in Street Fighter II, and that was like, that blew everybody away. Like me and like a group of guys would go there after school, and like we'd just be feeding quarters, like lunch money and stuff that we brought, quarters that we brought to school. And they got to the point where the manager of the Circle K didn't want us all hanging out in there, so they replaced it with a game called Zybots.
Oh God.
And it was, or Zybots? I think it was Zybots. They actually put two different games, Xenophobe and Zybots.
Zaxxon?
No, this was it was like a third person where you're like behind the character and you're running around in like hallways and using elevators and you're getting different guns and shooting aliens. It was kind of a weird one, but Xenophobe was like if Star Trek took on the Xenomorphs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a weird one too. They were like these egg hatching aliens that were on like a spaceship, and you're literally like, I mean, the characters in that look like Starfleet, and you're running around with like these little like pop guns basically like trying to shoot them, and then you upgrade to like the legit laser gun. But it didn't compare to, you know, the experience of playing Street Fighter II, where we're like, you know, beating the crap out of each other.
One of my clearest memories of the that time is, like I said, we would go to Farmer Jack's, and after that arcade closed, it was the, I don't know if I can explain this right, the entrance of Farmer Jack's was enclosed, and the grocery store was on the left, On the right, there was a small little pizza place, kind of like a galleria. You could sit in there and whatnot. And on the far end was a Perry Drugs. But if you went into this little pizza place called Randazzo's, they had four or five arcade machines. I know that's where I first played Double Dragon, the original Double Dragon in the arcade. And we played that, and they had Elevator Action. I think that was it. Yeah. And one other in a Galaga. They never changed these out. So my buddies and I sometimes, when we were young, we would go up there, get some chili cheese fries, and then hang out, you know, for a couple hours feeding quarters into these machines. But I know, what about you, Art? Did you ever have a...
We had a few arcades here. We actually had a Diamond Jim's, but ours was a little bit different because ours had like a go-kart track, bumper boats, and they had like a full-on water park, like with water slides and stuff. They even had like a malt shop in like one of the main buildings. It was kind of like a log cabin looking kind of building, but they had a slick track for go-karts. We used to play a lot of video games there, like the early like Pac-Man, pretty much anything that came out till about 1989 or so. Cause I think I don't remember for sure when Diamond Jim's closed altogether, but then we had like Putt-Putt Golf, which had an arcade room. We had Tilt and Gold Mine in the malls. We had two malls, and then we had another one, it seems like, but yeah, majority of mine was the early games. Oh, and one of the bowling alleys had an arcade room, and that was where I played like Afterburner, mm-hmm. Pole Position. They had some pretty neat arcade games, but it wasn't until like high school that like I had study hall six periods, so we would sneak out and go to the mall arcade. We'd go to Tilt, and they had Mortal Kombat. We got into Mortal Kombat 2 and about the same time. It had been out for a few years by then, but they had a Ninja Turtles arcade cabinet. They had the first one, and we played the hell out of that. In fact, I think one of my buddies, when we were playing Mortal Kombat, he actually ripped the joystick clean out at one point. So we were banned from that arcade. But growing up, though, I always had a complete fascination with arcade cabinets anyway. I mean, even when I was real little, trying to figure out how they worked, you know, was it a different kind of screen? Like, how did they get a television screen inside a cabinet? Because I was used to those big, like, Curtis Mathis and Zenith floor stand televisions that, like, my parents and grandparents had. You know, I was just totally fascinated with, you know, you move the joystick, you press a button, and something happens on the screen. You know, how the hell did that work?
Oh, yeah.
And that really never went away when growing up with like Nintendos and things like that. You couldn't bring in an electronic device like that into our house without me tearing it apart at least once. Now, getting it back together was a different story, but. But yeah, my real like love of video games was pretty much, I mean, centered around Pac-Man. You know, the lights, the sound effects, the marquees that lit up. You know, finding one that was free, you didn't have to pump quarters in, was absolutely the best. And that's kind of something that the newer arcade one-ups kind of fall flat on is there's no danger of, I mean, you don't really have to be good at playing the game because you're not worried about running out of quarters. You can just keep pressing the button and keep playing forever.
Right.
There's no quarter stress.
Yeah, none. You don't have to like work on being good at the game. You're going to get through it no matter what. I mean, with the exception of like Pac-Man, but.
I mean, who remembers putting you know, your quarter up on the marquee on the top saying you were next, you know, rows of quarters up there.
Or on, depending on the machine or on the control deck.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even here a couple years ago, out in Brighton, which is probably 20, 40 minutes from me, some dude opened up, he just calls it simply the arcade. And the way he does it is he's got a bunch of vintage machines, some newer stuff, and a lot of pinball. And I want to say it's for like, I know his prices just went up for like 15, 20 bucks. You pay and you can play as much as you want. If the machine required quarters and there's no free play, they give you a bucket of quarters to keep playing as much as you want. We, for my birthday one year, we went out there to check it out. It's kind of like that place we went to, Art, when I was out with you. But they had a ton of vintage cabinets, but now I think they're, because it's like a two floor, ground floor, and like a half upper floor. The bottom floor is almost all exclusively pinball machines now, and they've moved their cabinet stuff to the second floor. But yeah, if you guys ever get out here, yes, you too, Matt, we're I'll take you up there and see if we can't check it out, because I think you might like this. You get that feeling that we were talking about when you walk in there.
Nice. So it's like it sounds like I imagine like Flynn's from Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah, like his arcade, whenever I think of like what you just described. There used to be a place in Maine, when I lived up there in Portland, actually it's still there. It's called Arcadia National Bar, and that's a play on, in Maine, there's a Arcadia National Park, which is further up north, but it's a arcade bar, and, you know, like they have like local microbrew and all that kind of stuff. It's very hipstery. But they had a ton of arcades. They had old pinball machines. They had air hockey and all that kind of stuff. It was really cool. I used to go there a lot.
Nice. I haven't, it's been a couple of years since I've been to the arcade. It's just, I said, it's kind of a hike to get up there, and it's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but we had a blast last time I went. Now this place, you know, it's not a bar. I mean, if, like I said earlier, if I were to open up a place myself, that's what I would want to do. Open up like a bar style, you know, no kids after, you know, 7 p.m. or 5 p.m. or whatever.
That'd be great, man. I'd call it Barcade.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Barcadia.
So some of the more vintage ones that did you, other than Pac-Man, did you have a favorite? That every time you saw it, you had to play it?
Both.
I wish I could say Tron, but nobody around here. In fact, up until, a good 10 or so years ago, I never even knew there was a stand-up arcade for Tron. I'd never seen it. And I went into a video game store, a vintage used video game store that unfortunately went out of business, and I was buying Super NES parts from them and NES parts to do some of the Picade systems that I was doing at the time. And they just happened to have a Tron, but that movie definitely had an impact on liking arcades. And then for Christmas, what was it? 81, 82, 83, somewhere in there. I got that at-home Tron game.
The Deadly Discs, or
no, this is actually, it's right here, actually, it actually works. I don't know how well this will show up on the camera, if the camera's even going to play along.
No, you're coming in like,
yeah,
clips.
No,
yeah, I can't see it.
Snap a picture of it and put it in the chat when you get a second.
Yeah, but yeah, the at-home one was actually a lot of fun. Yeah, I wish I could say I knew about that the stand-up arcade way sooner, because if I had unlimited money, I would have had one.
I've played a stand-up Tron, and it's a very difficult game to play because you actually use a joystick.
Yeah.
Almost like a flight stick, and the stick doesn't match up with what you're seeing on the screen. And at least for me, it's hard to make that connection.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing a flight sim or like, Afterburner or whatnot, and it makes sense what you're supposed to do with the controls. It's instinctual. With this, it was just weird.
Well, you mentioned Afterburner. That's definitely one of my, I always had a draw, not early, like not when I was really little and like the first arcade games, but in the late 80s, early 90s, I always was drawn to the interactive arcade games like Afterburner, the one that you sit in.
Yep.
That had the whole barrel that would like, you know, tilt and move. And,
right.
And
yep.
That was so immersive, even though I don't know anybody that knew how to actually do anything in it. Like you get in, you put your, you know, 75 cents or a dollar in or whatever it was, and literally you're just trying to figure shit out. And it's just, you know, and you're it's rumbling, and then you're like, fuck, I got shot down. Nah, now I'm in the trees. But it was such a, you know, that was almost like virtual reality for us. And that Operation Wolf is one of my all-time favorites because, I mean, what kid didn't want to, you know, actually hold an Uzi in your hand and, you know, mow down bad guys?
Mm-hmm.
That game was so cool. Another one of my favorites, too, was the X-Men arcade game, the six-player. That I mean, me and my brother played that when he was in art school in the early 90s in Tampa. And I remember we went to an arcade, and we just – that was the only one we fed quarters into. It was just like he was always Wolverine and I was always Colossus, and you know that when you, it was all about their special abilities, of course, but that one was so much fun as far as a beat 'em up goes. And you know, Colossus would do his special thing where, you know, it's not his special move in the comics, because I mean he's a big armored guy, but he would, you know, go from normal to like his metal form, and he would just kind of explode the whole screen and like, and you know, it was, I remember everybody in the arcade would look whenever I would hit that button, like, whoa, what's this kid doing? It was always just like,
well, you know, you mentioned immersion, and a couple of years ago, I took my son to Dave and Buster's because, like I said, arcades, they're coming back, but they're not like what we remembered.
Right.
And when I took him up there, I found this, it's a Star Wars flight sim pod. You actually sit in a pod. You actually have to close a door behind you.
I've seen that. Yeah.
And it is the most immersive, one of the most immersive flight sims I've ever played, because the whole thing moves.
Yep.
The entire pod moves. And granted, it was like $3-4 per play, and or credits as they did it, because you know, you've like the whole card system, you put money on the card, but I've never felt anything that immersive. It's like Afterburner on crack.
Yeah, that I've done that. I went to a Dave and Buster's back in 2015. For it was some boxing match. I can't even remember who now. I think it was Floyd Mayweather and somebody, but the girl I was dating at the time took me there, and we had like the full pass where, you know, we had enough credits to where we could play for hours. And I remember doing that one a few times, and it was really cool. But yeah, like you said, very immersive, very like you actually felt, that's about as close as we'll ever get to flying in a TIE fighter.
Right.
Yeah.
And speaking of vintage games, one of my favorites that a lot of people forget about, and you guys remember Russian Attack?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the dude running around with the knife, and you're knifing everyone to death. And
it's like Running Murder.
That's another one that I just fed quarters into. I never beat it. I don't even know if there's an actual end to that game, but I can still picture seeing the missiles in the background, and you're just wave after wave of and I know they did it for the NES, and it sucked. It didn't feel right playing it for the NES.
What was the game that pissed you off the most?
Dragon's Lair.
That's high up on the list.
That's the biggest disappointment of a video game ever, because it looked so beautiful, but it was like you couldn't. It was so hard, and you couldn't really do much, and it was so expensive.
Biggest disappointment. That's a tough one. Yeah, Dragon's Lair is up there. Believe it or not, the first time I ever, what was it? Was it Silent Scope?
Yeah, that's yeah. the
that for as cool as that thing looked, that game sucked.
It's not quite, yeah. I was excited about that one because of Operation Wolf, and then the first time you use it, you're like, okay, well, this gets to the point where you just can't really do it because they don't give you enough time, and you have like a limited view, like you're either looking through the scope or you're looking at the screen, and then you're looking at the scope, and it's
right,
yeah, which I would imagine is, you know, that's the sniper life.
Or believe it or not, some of the later variants of House of the Dead. They just beat that game to hell. And it's like, after a while, I'm like, what's the point? I mean, it's
those games have a certain, I think in the past 20 years, I've played those games more than anything. The step on the pedal, pistol shooters or whatever.
Yep.
And there's an Aliens, version of that.
Yep.
With the pulse rifles. I think they're like a Men in Black or something like that. Those are kind of fun. But they do get to the point where it's like, okay, you can't, there's too much crap coming at you. You can't get it all.
Terminator 2 was like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. And you're fighting like the endoskeletons. Yeah, I remember that.
And they're throwing grenades and shit at you.
Yeah, stuff that you literally can't do anything about. And then like, oh, here's a warship. Bah, 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 bah. Oh. And you know, so yeah, please deposit another $3.25 if you want to keep playing.
For me, it was other than Dragon Slayer. Oh, and I lost my train of thought. Damn, don't ever have a stroke, boys and girls.
This biggest G.I. Joe game.
Did you ever play the arcade version of G.I. Joe?
No, yes. I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah,
the run and gun, yeah.
Yes. Oh my god, did that piss me off?
Yeah.
You can't really play the one you really, you know, like Shipwreck. I wanted to play Shipwreck.
Yep.
Not an option.
And it really doesn't matter which character you pick because they kind of do the same thing.
Yeah, there was really no real difference in any of the characters when it came down to like, could none of them could carry like more weapons or ammunition than any of the others. They were basically just reskinned or rehashed versions of the same one. And being G.I. Joe and a fan of G.I. Joe, you know, you're hoping that the game's going to be really kick ass. Nah, not so much.
Well, and it's that constantly moving, running forward style. So
yeah, and again,
if you don't get it, it passes you by.
Yeah,
if you're shooting, it kills you. Da, 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 da.
Or you know, on that list would probably be I can't believe I'm saying this because it's one of my favorite NES games. Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
I played the cabinet version of Ninja Gaiden. It's a beat 'em up. It's not a a side-scrolling, I don't know what you call it, adventure game maybe, but the first time I played that, I'm like, what is this? And why can't I, you know, my jumping sucks. I'm a ninja. My jumping shouldn't suck like this. Yeah. But it was more of a beat 'em up or a
button masher.
Say what?
A button masher.
Yes. Or what was the other one? Was it Bad Dudes?
Bad Dudes, yeah.
You know, the two guys, you know, in the tight jeans and the white t-shirts in the fingerless gloves beating the hell out of it. Streets of Rage. There was another one that was...
Street Fighter.
Yeah, Street Fighter I liked.
Street Fighter, I like Street Fighter, but the walking and beating up games, like even Double Dragon, everybody talked about how great that game was. I was so... frustrated with that one because of the I don't know what the term is, but like when you think you're right next to the guy and you jump to kick him and you're really behind him,
right?
So you like ghost and like, oh, that didn't get him, but no, now he moved up a second and like boom, now he's whacking me. Like I hated that, and just how kind of clunky the jump kicks were and all that kind of stuff.
The Ninja Turtle arcade was kind of like that, the original, a 1989 one. And it was like that too on the NES.
Yeah. Where you can't tell like where your vector is basically.
Yeah, the depth perception of it's kind of messed up.
Yep, your perspective is skewed. And And I played the shit out of Double Dragon when I was a kid. And I'm right there with you, Matt. I felt that it was slow. It was really clunky.
Well, the implications in that game are really problematic too, because they're brothers, the Billy Lee or whatever their names are. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to rescue one girl from the evil bad guy or whatever. And whoever rescues her gets to, like, you know, be with her. And yeah, there. Oh yeah, they, I watched a or I listened to a podcast on the Double Dragon movie, and somebody was talking about that. And they're like, yeah, so they're basically brothers that are like competing to see who gets to bang the hot chick. Like after they rescue her, it was really problematic. And even as a kid, I remember being like, oh well, no, I'm going to get the girl. No, I'm going to get the girl.
Oh, it's just I just had a really thought, a bad thought of a really weird menage a trois. I'm just not going to go there. But
hey, no, they stole our girlfriend. Let's go get them.
No, I played that. I played it on the NES, and I actually had more fun playing Double Dragon on the NES than I did the arcade. Even though the graphics sucked, but it was a more thought out game, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely. Another one I like, the NES version too, but the arcade I remember playing is Gunsmoke. That's a fun one. Yeah. It's a Capcom, it's an up scroller where you're walking and the screen is scrolling downward,
right?
And you shoot either ahead of you or to the side, like diagonally, and guys are kind of descending. That's a fun one.
Oh, I don't think I ever played. I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Oh, you should check that one out if you've got NES capabilities. That's a fun one. It's an early NES game. I think that came out like in that first year.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's relatively quick game, but it gets hard by the. I think there's six levels, and by the fourth level, you're just like, Jesus.
it's playing 1942.
It's similar to that. It's but it's like that, but with a cowboy and with like cowboys and Indians attacking you.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a fun one though. Check that one out. Got great music too.
Cool.
To change from one game to another.
Well, guess what? You came to the right place.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Pi 4. It's a pain in the ass.
Pi 4 is great. In fact, there's a build out right now, and I think they took it off of Arcade Punks, but there's a build out for the Pi 4, and it's the Wolfenose 1 terabyte load, and it's loaded. There's like 24,238 games on it. I mean, there's like everything.
Wow.
But if you get a chance to try the one I did for Michael, the NES.
Okay.
If you go up and visit them, ask him to show you that.
Yeah, I'll be up there next week.
Or the Super NES.
Okay.
That one's kind of clunky, but it's an older install that I had to tailor myself. I've been trying to get him to send it back to me so I can upgrade it.
Nice.
But yeah, if he'll at least get it shipped to me, I'll pay to ship it back and put all the I'll pay for all the parts in it.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'll be up there this coming week, for the whole week. The one I've got, it's good, it works, it's just it doesn't have a reset button, and there was no instructions with it when I got it. So
if you decide to do it, I've got circuit diagrams, and I can give you lists of where to go to get like the bring your own switch circuit. So you can add the power and reset.
I'm not very, I'm handy, but I'm not technically inclined very well. So like when I bought this, it was literally like a set, and I've got it online, and I just kind of took a chance. And when it came in, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess this goes here. Like I got it. And then I just walked through the setup, and it was, I had kind of had to figure it out on my own, but Like, I wouldn't know how to put new hardware on it or anything like that. I'm kind of tech stupid.
Well, between the three of us, we should be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else we want to end this with, guys? Or
Sorry. I thought we were already done.
Yeah. Other than please like and subscribe, it helps our channel out.
Yes. Like us. Subscribe to us.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you on the next one.